What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
44 was cool and so fine,
but my wife would never toe the line.
It's all that in chapter 39 of Genesis.
Don't believe everything you read, dear.
She was beautiful but evil. So I thought of men against his will. He would have to tell her that she still was his.
You're mine.
Well, there's a little bit of the story we're going to be dealing with here in the course of our teaching a Sunday school lesson. We're going to be talking about Joseph's troubles in the house of Potiphar. It starts out great, and then it turns out rather bad. Although, all through it, Moses is reminding us that God was with Joseph and prospered everything that he did. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach that Sunday school lesson. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Welcome. Thank you.
Bring us up to speed on Joseph's story so far. What did we talk about last time?
Yes, in this Sunday school lesson from Concordia Publishing House, the first four lessons deal with Joseph. Last time it was his brothers selling him into slavery because they hated him. He had the coat of many colors. He had dreams that indicated that they would be bowing down to him. And so we're picking up in this new Sunday school lesson with him having been sold to the Ishmaelites. He goes to Egypt and he is hired by a man named Potiphar. He is an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, and he put Joseph in charge of his home. And that's where the lesson kind of begins.
Now, often it's thought of as this is one of the bad times for Joseph, that he gets sold as a slave to Potiphar. But I think the intention of Moses in telling the story at this particular juncture is to say that he landed, while being sold as a slave into Egypt, was a bad thing. He ended up in about the best possible place he could if he was going to be a slave in Egypt. What do you think, Tom?
Yes. In fact, that's the theme of this lesson. On the basis of Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So we've got Joseph as a slave. Joseph then is seduced, attempted, by Potiphar's wife. Then he is shackled. But in each of these situations, God indicates how that is all working out for good. And, of course, the big picture is to realize that God is working this out for good in preparation for the coming of the Messiah, who is going to be coming through the seed of this family of Jacob and so forth. So there's nothing happening here that God isn't working out for good, and that's an important point to make to the children.
That casts the Joseph story and Joseph's kind of ongoing struggles and troubles that we're going to discuss here in a different light than usual. You mentioned in our last conversation, at the end, he is able to say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we often take that to be as he suddenly realized this after having been a slave for decades there in Egypt. But what you're saying there, Tom, is that this is something that God is teaching Joseph all along, that he is with him, even in the circumstances of being sold as a slave. There's a lot more to tell in the story as well. But every single time, he is being shown over the course of those decades that, in fact, God is with him and working out these things. That's a different take than we usually have on you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Yeah, yes. I've even heard Lutherans talk about that all things work together for good. And so they're trying to look for the good that's happening in their life. And when they don't see what they consider to be good, they're wondering, is God really working out? What we need to realize, and this is the most important point of this Sunday school lesson, is God is working out for good even when we suffer, even when we're persecuted, even when we're disobedient and sinful. And so this is an important understanding to recognize. Jesus says it in Matthew very clear, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of this age." And so if you want to see the good that is happening, regardless of what is happening personally to you in your life, you need to, as the lesson very well does, growing in Christ, fix your eyes on Jesus and see, okay, how is he working this out to my good? And that's going to have a totally different perspective on life than those who think that some good that I enjoy has to be coming out of my suffering, persecution, imprisonment, and so forth.
There are a couple things that are said here before we get to the run-in with Potiphar's wife, and that is that the Lord was with him and caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. It ends there, that little section where Potiphar basically is able to kick back and concern himself with nothing but mealtime. What has God done there for Joseph?
Yes, in fact, there's a parallel passage. You read Genesis 39, verse 3. In Genesis 39, verse 21, the same kind of thing happens to the gentleman who's in charge of the prison. It says, when Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, how was the Lord with him? Well, he showed him steadfast love. Well, how did that come about? And then the next part, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In fact, both Potiphar and the keeper of the prison kind of left Joseph in charge, and they didn't have a concern about it. In fact, Joseph himself says that when he is tempted by Potiphar's wife, when he says in verse 9, that Potiphar is not greater in the house than I am. In other words, Joseph had the ability to make commands, give orders, etc. That's how much confidence Potiphar had with him. And so the real lesson here is every one of those children in the Sunday school class have a different vocation. I don't mean vacation. I mean how God calls them in the world, what they're to do. And they need to recognize that when things don't seem to be going right in their vocation, Jesus is still with them. And so open your eyes of faith to see how Jesus is keeping his promises.
It says, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." He refuses, and then he gives his reason, really a twofold reason. One, hey, Potiphar's been really nice to me. And then he says, and I want you to focus on this if you would, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What's Joseph talking about?
This is a really good point for this lesson, because most of the times we don't want to do sin because it's against God. But here it's very clear. As Jesus said, remember when he asked the lawyer in Luke 10, what is the reading of the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. There's a dual motivation here why we do not sin. Number one is, and in this order, in this particular one, is love for the neighbor. Joseph so appreciates and loves what Potiphar has done for him that he doesn't want to go and do something against Potiphar. And then he talks about, as you indicated, also love for God. Namely, he cannot sin against God. And I think this is really important. I used these two motivations some time ago. I was helping another congregation out, and there was a young man and a young woman living together. And I came to them, and I not only indicated to them that their problem was they're sinning against God, but look at the reputation that this young man was giving to the woman he said he loved. His parents were embarrassed. Her parents were embarrassed. They didn't want people at church talking about it. By living with that woman, there was no real love toward her. There was only this lust kind of love, I indicated to them, which the Bible is not agape, but eros, erotic love. And that's really why Joseph refused to sin, both for his proper love toward Potiphar and also his deeper love towards God.
You pointed out last time we talked about this that Joseph is presented in this story as pretty much sinless. You can't really fault Joseph, maybe at the beginning, for being a little naive with his brothers, but we're not told about any sins he commits, and you said there's a reason for that. It's not because Joseph himself was actually sinless. Why is the story told and omitting Joseph's sins and only showing him here in resisting temptation to sin?
Well, I haven't told you this yet, Todd, but last week I gave out my email address because I had this chart between Joseph and Jesus with a dozen similarities in their lives. And there, I couldn't believe how many people asked for them, and we sent it to them. Well, this continues here. Jesus also had temptation. Remember, in the wilderness, those three temptations are parallel to the temptations that Eve had. You know, the fruit was good to eat, and the devil said, well, change these stones into bread. And if you take a look, each of the three temptations Eve had from Satan the serpent, Jesus also experienced from Satan the tempter in the wilderness. But he succeeded in each, and how did he do so? By, in Jesus' case, quoting the Old Testament. Now, we need to remember, Joseph refused to do what Potiphar's wife wanted before the Ten Commandments had been written on Mount Sinai, including the one about adultery. But it is part of man's understanding. You're born this way. You just know it's wrong to commit murder, wrong to break a marriage, wrong to steal, wrong to curse, etc., etc. So once more, we see Jesus reflected in Joseph. Even though he's suffering many ways, he knows the Lord is still with him. And talk about Jesus having that understanding to such a degree that the Father even said twice to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
He is also falsely accused, Joseph, here, and that seems another very strong parallel with Jesus. How is Joseph falsely accused?
Well, of course, when he tries to run away, and Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce him a number of times, and finally he was running out the door, and she had grabbed his outer coat, and she therefore had it as evidence and told the servants that were out of the house at the time, whether she planned it or not, that he had tried to seduce her. And then when her husband came home, he did the same thing. Now, there's something that I had never noticed before that Growing in Christ pointed out, which is very good here, is that Potiphar had the right to execute Joseph, and he did not. Instead, he simply sent him to prison, which is kind of interesting. And so when it says that Potiphar's anger was kindled, verse 19, it's possible that he knew his wife better than is let known here, and his anger was really kindled at her, and for the sake of reputation, Joseph being a foreigner, he had to get him out of the house, and that really kind of upset him because he had trusted so much in Joseph. But it's interesting, he did not put him to death. And God made sure that Joseph was not put to death because his bigger plans were making their way to fruition.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. He'll be with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. We are talking about Joseph's troubles in Genesis 39, teaching a Sunday school lesson. You heard him mention Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. I highly recommend it, and you can check it out. There's a free sample available if you call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. We'll be right back.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Our inner cities and Mission Field USA are groaning for the gospel. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 12th through 14th, we will present Stand Firm in the City, an urban ministry conference with great speakers and discussions. For information on Stand Firm in the City, call 260-452-2204 or check out ctsfw.edu/urban-ministry-conference-2015.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Joseph's Troubles in Genesis 39. He gets sent to prison there, but as you mentioned before, Tom, even being put in the Pharaoh's prison, that is the prison that was made for those who Pharaoh kind of had crossed Pharaoh, things still go well for him. Talk about that.
Yes, it's the similar verse where it goes well with Potiphar. It's, again, I said verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph. And so people ask, what does that mean? Well, he showed him steadfast love. Okay, how did he show him steadfast love? He gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In other words, the vocation that Joseph had, one of them, was that he was a very good organizer, and both Potiphar and the keeper of the prison, say the warden, was confident that he could leave Joseph in charge and nothing would be going wrong. And therefore, whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. Joseph and the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, and here it comes, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. So we see this is what it means about this lesson, that it doesn't matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you. He never leaves you nor forsake you. That's Matthew 28. And he does so by showing you steadfast love. And sometimes you can see the results of that. But even if you can't, you can rely and remain confident in the promises of God that he is fulfilling what he has promised.
So already Joseph is seeing firsthand the steadfast love. You've used that term many times here. Connect that to the overall theme here that we want the children to have in the Sunday school lesson, that this steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, Tom.
Yes, I like asking questions where the class usually gets the answer wrong. And I would begin the lesson by asking the students, tell me something that happened bad to you that worked out to your good. And I guarantee you, Todd, that every answer they give, what worked out would be something that they think is really good. They don't recognize that the suffering itself is the good thing. And it's Romans 5 that a lot of people misunderstand. In verse 3, where the Apostle Paul says that we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing, and here it comes, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then verse 6 explains it. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. We can say this about Joseph. While he was in prison in that hole waiting for the Ishmaelites to take him away, God was with him. When he was in Potiphar's house and then put into prison, God was still with him. When his brothers came back, we're going to find out soon, he forgives them. That's how endurance comes about. And in fact, the translation that we rejoice in our sufferings is not really the word rejoice in the Bible. The better translation is we boast in our sufferings. And people are going to say, what? How can you boast in your suffering or your persecution? Because it says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. In other words, through eyes of faith, no matter what suffering you're going through, God is the one who permits it. And he has a good purpose in doing it. You may not be able to figure it out. Sometimes you can, as it was in Joseph's case. But even when you can't figure it out, you can still rely on God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. And next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Joseph feeding Egypt in Genesis chapters 40 and 41. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.